Alright, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting a company update from TriStar Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSG, and on the OTCQX under the symbol TSGZF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Nick Appleyard. Now, Nick, I wanted to bring you on this weekend show because the company is starting this drill program at the Castelo de Sonhos project in Brazil. The initial program is about 12,000 meters, but the way I understand it is that this is really just an initial program because it sounds like you guys will be just continuing to drill and really following up on whatever the drills yield in this first pass. Can you give us just a general get up to speed here when it comes to what the company is testing out in this initial program, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. And thanks for having me on. Yeah, this is super exciting time for us now. You know, with the rigs are at site now. They're due to start drilling on Monday. And as you said, this is an initial program, and we are testing multiple targets. It's the first pass test of multiple brand new targets for us. And these targets range from extension of known mineralization of shallow conglomerate-hosted gold to at the other end of the extreme, we're going to be testing some deep targets looking for completely new ore bodies, which would be a game changer for the project if it came in, and everything in between. We've probably got something like 10 independent targets currently, and the drillings will be moving around pretty rapidly over this next 2 or 3 months before Christmas in this program.
So one thing to note here, just to bring everybody up to speed, is that the company already has a little over a 2 million ounce resource and also a PEA where just over 1 million ounces are included in that PEA. So this drill program really is all about exploration and trying to find some new targets, hit some, who knows, mineralization and follow up really to build ounces, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We stopped when we hit that two number on the total resource and thought, okay, it's time to start de-risking and moving it through, you know, EPA feasibility, pre-feasibility. But now we want to go back and go, okay, that we stopped just through practical measures in 2018, the drilling out and exploring. There's a lot more to do. So now we want to get back to that. And we're going to get back to it aggressively because we still think there's a lot more to do. We still think this project is really young in its life cycle, and there's a lot more value to expose here.
So can you give us some insights on how some of these targets were generated? Because I know those that have followed this story know that you are working with Goldspot that uses a lot of the historic data, runs it through their AI programs to generate some targets that maybe your geos hadn't picked out. But what's the balance here between targets generated internally by some of your geos and then those targets that are generated with your work with Goldspot?
Okay, yeah. So working with the AI, it's interesting. I think it's, I know by myself before I worked with it now, it was probably poorly understood. I'm assuming that out in the broader world it is as well. You know, the computer's going to look and it's going to come up with the most obvious targets first. But they're the same targets our geologists have got anyway. So a lot of these targets we've got now are geologist-generated targets. With the work with the artificial intelligence, we've all sort of said, okay, the artificial intelligence will generate 10 targets. Geologists will look at those 10 and go, well, these two, there's an incorrect assumption, so we can discard them. These six are known to us. We've already got them on our maps. These two are interesting. And that's really what you're paying for, is that little bit where the computer can read through multiple layers of data and identify something that's just too subtle, maybe, or for the geologist using our modern computers and stuff to be able to see on their own. So these targets we've got now, I would say that out of the sort of 10 targets that I'm thinking of where we're hitting first, I think probably 6 or 7 of them are just pure geologists. Our mapping, our targeting, we know where they were. The AI would have generated those same targets as well, but they're so obvious that it didn't need it. And then out of the other three, I would say it's a good combination, because sometimes if the data we give to the AI computer algorithms is a little bit crude, say it's a little bit coarse in its detail, it'll come up with a target. Then the geologists go on site and they refine that target down and adjust it to based on real world measurements and stuff on surface rather than computer generated something using satellite imagery or so. So I would say out of the 10 we've got, 7 are purely geologist done, and 3 would be a combination of the AI and geology. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of this artificial intelligence. I think we're all going to be using it much, much more in the future. And it doesn't, but this shows me that it does not in any way replace geologists. It's just another tool for a geologist to use. And your geologist is still a critical component in these drill programs and the exploring.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. And you know what? This AI, it is starting to get used by both some of the largest companies in the sector and some of the smaller explorers. So you guys are fitting nicely in there, and using that combined with also what the geologists are finding from being at site. Nick, how are these targets, these 10 initial targets, how are they going to be attacked? How deep are the drill holes going to be? What are the spacings going to be? What's the strategy?
Okay, absolutely. We will have 3 drill rigs in total between now and Christmas, 2 RC rigs and 1 core rig. In general, the RC at site would, as a normal sort of plan, would be drill 120-meter vertical holes. They can go down to about 140. That's about the maximum we would take an RC hole on site due to the water. So they're going to be there, and there'll be patterns of 6 or 10 holes 100 meters apart will be the RC approach. Core drilling, current plans have the deepest probably core holes less than 400 meters. We've identified, you know, using AI and a geological mapping, what we call CDS deep, the deep target. We initially thought we would have to chase it down about 800 meters. We're identifying spots where we can refine our planning and get more information on this target, you know, as shallow as 250 meters. So, you know, 300, 350 meter holes with the core rig. And they'll probably be same thing, 100 meter spacing, 3 holes at a three or 4 holes in each target.
Now, Nick, can you also just give us a little recap of the resource, some of the grades that go into that resource, so I think our listeners can then compare what the drill results yield to some of the grades that you already know are available in the deposit?
Absolutely. Our indicated resource grade, the 700,000 ounces in indicated category, is 1.2 grams a ton, and our inferred grade, and there's 1.3 million ounces of inferred, is 1 gram a ton. But what we sort of target, though, is the PEA we publish. Once you optimize pits and you discarded the low-grade material using that really, you know, low gold price we used in the past, we ended up with a grade of about 1.4 out of the PEA pits. So, you know, as the gold prices go up, we're looking for a grade of, you know, of conglomerate-hosted shallow open pit gold in the range of 1.2 grams a ton is the target, what we would expect to see.
All right. You even mentioned the PEA, and the PEA done in late 2018 used a gold price US dollar terms of $1,250. So gold's much higher right now. That PEA still yielded a 43% post-tax IRR with only about $148 million initial capex. The company is still moving through a pre-feasibility study, though. Can you give us an update on this, the timing of this, and how it's progressing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the PFS should be complete in hopefully April next year now. And this is where we, you know, personally, I really like the setup we have now. We have the PFS getting close to completion. We'll have new resources coming out of that. We'll have new engineering studies. We'll have the permitting studies. Yeah, real stuff advancing this towards mining and shortening that timeline all the time to mining. But on top of that, you've got exploration activity and exploration excitement. So you've sort of got the best of both worlds. You've got a safe base and you know, an exploration upside. But yeah, the PFS is scheduled for April next year. Yeah, we still haven't set the gold price, but it'll be much higher than $1,250.
Yes, well, it should be because of where gold is right now. Nick, what kind of cash does the company have in the bank to continue with moving the PFS along and also with the drilling that's coming up?
We've got about $11 million US in the bank right now. And so that gives us plenty of money to do the drilling we're doing now. This initial phase of 12,000 meters, we hope to get complete before Christmas. And obviously then we'll budget the drilling into next year. A big part based on the results we see in this next 2 or 3 months here.
And that's something that's really going to lead you guys forward, is this exploration drilling. It's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this drilling. You guys are testing out some new targets. Have any of the targets out of the 10 have prior drilling on them? I know this project has been worked pretty extensively, but what sort of other work has been done at these targets?
There's a couple of the targets you could almost say are sort of newly identified extensions from known mineralization. And if they are, they would be, there's no drill holes into them, but it's not that far away from known resources and known stuff. And, for me, the value in those is you get the hit there and the extension, as we've identified it, is real, it's shallow. It's very easy to roll into the economics into the pre-feasibility study very quickly. But apart from that, then the other ones, most of them have no drilling in at all. Yeah. In general, most of what we'll hit this year will have no drilling in at all.
Well, Nick, I appreciate the update. This is going to be an exciting time for the company. So if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Nick to answer those questions. In the meantime, we'll wait to see some of the initial drill results, and I will for sure follow up with you then. Nick, I appreciate your time wrapping up the weekend show. Everybody else, I appreciate you taking some time out of your weekend and listening to all of the segments that I put together for this first hour. Also, please go back on our website and listen to all the company introductions and updates I've recorded throughout the week. I do try to save maybe some of the more important ones for the weekend show, but there's a lot of news that's happening in this sector, even during the correction that we saw this week. So very important, I think, even more so now, to stay up to date on the companies that you're watching and that are in your portfolios. Nick, everybody else, thank you again for joining me on this weekend show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.